this then. Whoa, pardon me. Oh, gosh. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry.
So, ba-chan, ba-chan, ba-coo-bee, ba-chan, ba-coo-bee. He's a sister.
Welcome to the Two Goofs Podcast. Hey, it's the first episode, everybody. We thank you for joining us. It's an exciting time to be a Disney fan, for sure. But hasn't it always been? What is the Two Goofs Podcast? Well, if you haven't listened to our preview episode, which you're certainly welcome to go back and check out, we'll let you know that this is going to be an in-depth yet casual storytelling experience from two former Disneyland character department cast members who had a lot of fun playing around in costume, portraying your favorite Disney icons. We also happen to be best friends. So there's a lot of history there and a lot of stories to be shared. I'm Goof 1, Adam. And over here, we have Goof 2. It's Jeff.
Hey.
We have been preparing for this for quite a while, and we're just bursting to tell you all the stories that we have. But we know that you have stories too, and this Two Goofs community that we want to build online out there is already in place, okay? So we've got the website. You can go to twogoofspodcast.com. That's kind of the hub for everything. It'll get you off to our social media, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or wherever you want to be, so you can interact with us. But we do want to hear your stories as well. We want to add a segment to the show called Goof Mail, where you could actually tell us what your favorite experiences with costume characters have been. So you can send that to twogoofspodcast@gmail.com, and we may just read it on the air, or if you give us permission, we'll post it on the website for everybody to enjoy. We just want this to be really a dialogue with you, the audience, as we share our stories, to hear what you find most interesting. Is there a question you had that we left out the answer to? We'd love to follow up on a future episode, and we'll answer those questions maybe in a bonus podcast. That being said, a lot of people probably are used to seeing costume characters in the park, but you may not consider how they got there, especially when you consider the fact that working at Disneyland isn't exactly your standard 9-to-5 job. You know, you don't walk in with a resume and that gets you your foot in the door. But speaking of resumes, before we tell you about our audition process, we thought we'd tell you a little bit about what was our work history prior to this, because it's kind of interesting. How do you go from one type of job to this type of job, which is extremely unique? So, Jeff, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you had been doing prior to donning a costume?
I got one job as soon as I graduated from high school, but the rest of the jobs that I had were just high school jobs. So, like, that you get over the summer, and, you know, as a high schooler, they expect you to have zero experience and zero skills, so it just literally needs someone with a pulse. So my first job, I worked at a water park called Wild Rivers. I was the guy that would say, cross your arms and legs, lay down flat in your back, go. And then I worked in a movie theater as an usher, sweeping up popcorn and spilled food. And then I was a boat dockhand renting out electric boats in Newport.
See, all sorts of skills that you would use working as a costume character. That's interesting. So if you couldn't guess, by the way, thinking about Wild Rivers, a water park, we were on the West Coast. We both grew up in Southern California. So the other industry outside of theme parks and things of that nature is performance, right? Hollywood. So I am 2 years younger than Jeff. So he had graduated from high school in 98, and I was still in high school thinking, okay, well, might earn a couple extra bucks here, but I had never had an actual job. So what I did was I got paid for performing. I had done some children's theater with a professional theater in Mission Viejo, California. So I got paid for that. I was on a pilot episode of a television show called Great Pretenders that I got called back for an episode when the series got picked up. So that's about all I'd ever been paid for, was performing. So for me to jump into an actual professional performing career at Disneyland, it kind of fit where I was at, because I don't know how responsible I would have been even, you know, cooking the fries or whatever else. Now, how does one go from that to finding out there's even an opportunity to work at Disneyland? You know, is there a mouse directory somewhere? And one of the ways I know that Disney gets the word out about the character auditions, because the internet was kind of in its infancy even then in 98, right, Jeff? I doubt you heard about it online.
No.
Yeah, so it was more a situation of they would post it a lot of times on college campuses. So there'd be like bulletin boards that would say something like this. This is the text from the 2019 audition flyer. The Disneyland Resort is seeking energetic performers to bring to life the world-famous Disney characters who appear before thousands of guests each day in meet and greets. Performers sign autographs, pose for pictures, and help create magical moments with guests of all ages. Note, please take notice of the special height requirements listed below for this audition. Seeking the following: individuals with heights of 4'7.5" to 5'3" and 6' to 6'4" with a slender to athletic build. Performers should be willing to demonstrate high energy levels, a full range of body movement, and imaginative improvisation. These roles require physical exertion and working in full body costumes. Please wear non-restrictive clothing and refrain from wearing shoes and heels. Tennis or dance shoes are required. Please note, the audition process can last anywhere from 1 to 4 hours. So you must be available to work Friday nights, weekends, holidays, and peak operating seasons. Please note, full-time positions may be available for certain roles. Performers must be at least 18 years of age or a high school graduate. Current Disneyland Resort cast members should bring a completed and approved transfer application. So there you have it right there. That's really what they're looking for at the time they send the word out. And by the way, if that interested you, January 19th, 2019, at Anaheim, California, you can audition if you are feeling the bug after listening to his talk. So, Jeff, how did you actually become aware that an audition was available?
I had stopped my summer job at the boat dock, so I was unemployed at the time, although going to college, so it's not really that big of a concern. At least at the time, it wasn't. And so our friend Justin, I have no idea how he heard about this, because we kind of talked about this in our preview episode, but like when I went to Disneyland, I don't even remember the characters at all. This was nowhere on my radar. But Justin said, hey, there's an audition to work at Disneyland on Saturday. Do you want to go? Okay.
So for me, it was a little bit different because, like I said, by the time I had graduated from high school in 2000, Jeff was already working at the park. So I just basically asked him, I said, hey, I'd love to work with you because I don't want to get a real job. Is there an audition coming up? And there just happened to be. That being said, as we get deep into our experience, the one thing I want to mention to you is that because we had the 2-year separation there before I was auditioning and Jeff was auditioning, there may be a few differences in the process, but also I worked there in 2 different sections. So I hired in 2000, worked there until the end of 2001. Then I took a little 2-year break, and then I came back in 2004 and worked there until 2005. So I kind of have 2 audition experiences, and the first one I was so nervous about that I don't remember every single detail, but the second one was a lot less stressful. Therefore, I'm going to kind of share a little bit of both so that this podcast doesn't go on forever. So you'll hear a little bit about both experiences when I share my remembrance of the different stages of the audition.
Something also I want to throw in there is that both times, as a current cast member, you get $50 if someone that you know gets hired, as long as they give them a referral slip. So I gave Adam a referral slip both times, and both times he did not turn it in. So I got 0.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, I no doubt.
Yeah, I owe you some cash. All right. But Jeff, what was it like for you when you arrived at Disneyland for that audition? What was your first impression?
Yeah, honestly, like, has it been 20 years? 1999? Oh. Yeah. So if you've never been to Disneyland Anaheim, what it would always be if you're driving down the 5 freeway, there's this big green-looking building. It's weird because the way that you get to Disneyland is a different exit than the way that you get to the corporate office, even though – not corporate office, but, you know, the offices, even though it's – like right behind the actual park. You just exit the next exit, and then you have to kind of make a U-turn, and there's a couple of like weird things to get there. And when you get there, you see this big yellow building, which is kind of weird. And it's because I guess the yellow building was too distracting or something. So they built this green, like, facade that the freeway sees. So you come in from one direction to see a yellow building, the other direction you see a green building. There's this big parking structure that's only for employees and everything like that. So I remember, yeah, you pull into the parking section, and then there was kind of a big group of us, if I recall, that you would all kind of wait for the security guard at the gate there that would bring all of you in a group into the actual audition area, which was kind of like a, it was like a big multi-purpose room that was not like immediately there. You would have to go into the backstage area a little bit, which even that was kind of special.
Yeah, and that's what I remember is I remember like arriving there and just seeing so many people. I mean, there had to be like 150, 200 people, just kind of this big mass that they were trying to keep organized. It was a pretty big event, you know, for me. It was like, wow, I have to make it through all of these people, you know, because I had auditioned for plays and musicals before. I had done shows and things, but it always felt like, you know, the pool was a little bit smaller and maybe I had a better chance. And here I was like, these people are from like all over the state, probably some of them from out of state. So it was crazy just to be in that mass of people, then wondering, okay, what's on the other side? But the exciting thing was, like you said, Jeff, even at that point, just to be participating, you were going to go behind the scenes. So you were going to get a little bit of a glimpse at behind the scenes of Disneyland just for showing up. So for me, that was almost worth it. I remember being like, okay, if nothing else, I'm going to get a little peek behind the curtain. That's not bad. Now, what I recall as well is you got your basic application for a job, you know, so you filled all that out, and then they gave you a number, because I believe that's how they would organize the groups that would audition, is, you know, you would do everything by number. And then I remember a lot of waiting in hallways. Do you remember this, Jeff?
Oh, yeah.
Just sitting out there, you know, staring at people, making friends. Did you make a lot of friends during the waiting?
No. Well, granted, I was there with Justin, so I already had someone to talk to. And I'm kind of the person that, if I know somebody there, I'm not going to talk to anybody I don't know. And for me, like you're saying, like, yeah, with the size and the number, because I remember when I auditioned, and that's the other part, too, like you had mentioned before, the big thing that changed between my audition and your audition was that Disney California Adventure opened, and that completely changed the entertainment department. It tripled in size within those couple of years. So when I auditioned, they were doing an audition, I think, twice a year, sometimes only once a year. So then it was like, if you miss that, like, you're out of luck. And then they started doing it, I think, every other month. So that might have, I don't know, like, even increased the numbers that they did it so rarely.
Yeah, probably the demand there was definitely increased. And so, you know, like I said, the first time I was pretty nervous, so I remember not really interacting too much. I was just kind of like, keep your head, man, keep it cool. All right, you know, you make it through, you know, whatever, psyching myself up. But the second time, I got the opportunity to meet a friend who just had a really interesting story. And this is what I find the audition process to be fascinating, because you're going to meet people with all different types of ambition in this. And I had a friend that I made there because she had driven out from Las Vegas and she had just graduated high school herself. And this was during my second audition. And she was just there and she was just like, yep, I just drove out. I have no place to live. I have no relations or any friends out here in California. So I'm going to get this job. And if I get it, then I'm going to go try to find a roommate or whatever. You know, I was like, wow. Like, I had never known somebody that, to me, who had lived, you know, in my parents' house my whole life and was still living there at the time. I was like, that is very brave that you would just take off and whatever happens.
Well, even more so, to add to the story, she actually drove out with a friend who they had best friends. They had graduated together. Her friend got cut. And so her friend drove home to Las Vegas. And so she was there all by herself at that point, not even with a car. Quite a story.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. I mean, again, if you want it, you want it, and you'll go for it. Now, let's get into this process. So once you officially got your paperwork in, they took you to the first level of cuts, okay? And so this is what's going to cull the herd. So, Jeff, do you remember what the first cut was?
Oh, yeah, it's measurement. I mean, like, and that's the biggest. I mean, the group was cut maybe, at least for us, maybe in a third. Like, that was the biggest cut, and it was kind of that nice thing where it was like, you can't really do anything about that. is that they measure you and they just go, hey, sorry, you don't fit. Because the funny thing was, is like the those measurements that you read at the beginning here, for the most part, there's really like three heights. I guess you can call it short, medium, and tall. But the vast majority of people that audition are that medium group. So they end up with a ton of people between 5'5" and 5'9", I think, is that height. And they have so many that a lot of times they say, like, hey, we just don't need any more of this height.
So let's break that down here because, yeah, it's pretty interesting because you would walk into this room and the fun part was they had a chart that was on the wall that literally had the heights, but it had the pictures of the characters that fell into that height, the main, you know, iconic characters of the Disney brand. So this is how the breakdown went. First, you had Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse height. That's 4'8" to 5'2". So that's your mouse height. Then you had Daisy and Donald height, which is 4'6" to 4'10". Then you have Chip and Dale height, which is a very small margin there, the 5'2" to 5'4". And then right next to it is Pluto height, 5'6" to 5'8". And then finally, where Jeff and I fell, which is Goofy height, which is 6'2" to 6'3" officially, but I think they give you a little wiggle room. You might make it if you're 6'4", but yeah, but that's where they fall on those heights. So yeah, so once that cut takes place, I remember feeling a lot of relief, like you said, Jeff. Okay, it's smaller. We have somewhere to go here. I made it. They need my height. Okay, that's a good sign. Now, Jeff, in my recollection, the next round of cuts, the next experience that they took you through was the dance, was learning some choreography.
Yeah.
So what do you remember about your dance audition?
Well, not only were we both in theater in high school, but then also I had continued in theater in college. And so the dance audition was kind of like nothing new. I mean, that's just a part of it. The irony, I thought, is that the actual job of working in the character department requires zero dancing. So it was kind of silly that they made us do that in hindsight. But yeah, I mean, like it was, yeah, and that's always that thing for me. I'm not necessarily a natural dancer, but it's that thing that like once you can get your body to do that, it's just about muscle memory. So it was nothing outrageously difficult, but just here it is, you're going to do it. You know, usually if you've never done a dance audition before, it's the person up front shows it to you, and then you get to practice again and again and again, and then they call you up in groups, and you do it.
Yeah, and what struck me, because, you know, as you said, Jeff, the job doesn't require dancing, but it does require a lot of movement. And I remember at the time looking at the groups, and I was like, wow, you know what? There is a real age range of people here, because I expected everybody to be my age, just like young college kids, which to be fair was the majority, but there were some like middle-aged people. There was like an actual grandma who was auditioning, you know, you could tell she was like in her late 50s. I mean, there was a lot of people on the different scales of body types and everything else. So yeah, they had to figure out like, could you move and could you, you know, not that you need to know choreography, but could you kind of learn a movement style and stick with it? And so I remember being pretty nervous because I also, you know, had done musicals, but wasn't super big into dancing, you know, not on my own, not recreationally. Although that may have worked at our benefit, Jeff, because if we dance terribly, Goofy's not a great dancer either, as our theme song will tell you. But
I'm
anyway,
not sure that's what they think, though. Well, that's the other part, too, is that theoretically, hypothetically at least, they're not actually looking at can you memorize choreography? Do you move like a dancer? They're just trying to see how you move, is the theory. Is that so? It's not somebody who's going to walk around, because, you know, it's hard to see how people move in just an audition, you know, where just say, hey, can you walk from here to there? Like, that's a little weird. But yeah, to see if you walk really stiff or you rock really weird or you are just physically incapable, like you're, you know, because that's the other part, too, is that if you are actually clumsy, then it's going to be hard to pretend to be clumsy because then you're going to hurt yourself. So I guess there's theoretically, there's method to the madness.
And I remember, I don't know if you remember the song you danced to. Again, I don't remember my first audition song because I was just obsessed, not realizing that the steps themselves were not terribly important. But the second time around, it was the theme song from Lilo and Stitch. So it was like this Hawaiian kind of hula dance they were teaching us, which was a lot of fun. So, and I remember loving Lilo and Stitch. I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, I'll go along with this. So, but do you remember what song at all you danced to?
No, I'm pretty sure it was like one of those Disney like dance song that you don't hear in a movie or anything like that.
Yeah, okay. All right, so, and then once that comes around, you know, basically they say, okay, we'd like all of these numbers to stay. Everybody else, thank you so much for coming. Maybe come back next year and audition again. And so, you know, you got another cut. So some more people heading out the door, which is sad. Now, Jeff, you said that you went there with our buddy Justin, and Justin is a dancer by training. Like, he was the one of only two or three male dancers in our high school dance program. But he was mostly there for the girls, by the way. So, Jeff, so do you remember at which point Justin got cut?
Yeah, he got cut at the very, very end. As I recall, at this point, you're down to maybe two dozen, because I think we only hired 15 people that got hired with me. And so there would have been maybe 20 that made it to this last round, because the last one for us was an interview. It wasn't like much of an interview. It was basically just sitting down with somebody and talking, but it wasn't even in like an office or a cubicle. It was just, they brought out like a chair into the middle of the dance floor. And then there was like four or five, so that like four or five people would go up at a time. And you would sit down with like two of the auditioners, and they would just ask you stuff and look.
Wait, Jeff. So what you're saying is that Justin was the right height. They needed his height. He was a great dancer, and it was his personality that got him cut?
No. Again, let's not sully the name of Justin Maloney here. And he actually was not the ideal height. He's in that mid-range height. So he's in a very popular, in fact, at least half of our group was also in that height. But what killed it for him was the fact that he was going back to school.
Right.
Because Justin was going to Boston University. And so he was literally, he was going to be out of the state for the majority of the year. So he literally could work for the rest of summer. And they kept kind of trying to figure out, they're like, well, like, would you come back for Christmas? Like, could we have you work over Christmas break? And he's like, I don't know, maybe. And so, yeah, that was ultimately what did him in.
So, kids, even if you're going to work at the happiest place on earth, be sensible. Don't waste their time. If you're actually not available to work there, don't audition.
Well, but at the same time, although I don't know about today, because I know I'm talking to some interviewers, and that they said if he would have auditioned 8 months later when California Adventure opened, oh, they would have taken him in a heartbeat. Mm. Is that at the time they were much more picky, because the total department, I think, was under 200 people at the time. And these days it's probably more around like 600 or 800 right now. So yeah, they could be quite a bit more picky back then.
Wow, that's interesting. And we should mention too that who are the auditioners? They are, generally speaking, the leads in the department, which are the people in charge of, you know, the different shifts and the different character locations, as well as, I remember, the head of the department, because he seemed like a Disney character himself. His name was Jason, and he was a fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Chris.
Oh, no. Jason, to me, just had, like, he had this kind of higher register voice, but he had, like, a Disney animated face, and he had, like, blonde hair, and he kind of looked like he could have been a prince or, like, you know, a sidekick in a Disney film. So, anyway, they're very kind, and most of them have worked their way up in the department. You know, most people don't hire into the character department having not had any experience. So, they were there. They knew what they were talking about. They knew what they were trying to capture and find.
So, yeah. So wait, Adam, so Jason was the one that was like running the show?
Yes, for my auditions, yeah.
Because for me, we had, leading for us, was a character who was kind of had been there for a while, and he had also done like various bit roles in movies and in TV shows, was a fellow named Curtis Anderson. And he was the MC of the day. He was doing everything. this seems like a Hollywood guy in a good way, where he was just bubbly and full of energy and telling jokes, and he was like a stand-up, so everybody loved Curtis. But then, at some point, probably between our auditions, he then got, like, I think that role on Sabrina, and so then he left, so...
It was that fast. That's how Hollywood works. Get on set. All right, Jeff, so this is my question then. So literally for you, you're saying you got there, you got measured, you did a dance, you got interviewed, and then that was it.
Well, yes, but when you're dealing with like 300, 400, 500 people, that was, I think, a two-day process.
Okay. See, that's interesting. Yeah, because that's what I was going to say. For us, it was a two-day process, but we actually had more stages in our audition, both times I auditioned.
Yeah, you're right. There might have been another part in there.
Yeah, so let me explain this and see if you remember it. So after the interview, I recall the next thing that they wanted us to do, it was basically another type of movement audition, but this one had to do basically with your improv skills and your ability to convey emotion with your body. Yeah. And like Jeff said, at this point, it's a pretty small group. Again, I think mine was maybe 20 people, 25 people. What they do is they take you into the rehearsal space there. They put a bandana over your face, basically. You know, at first you think they're putting a headband on you, and then they pull it down over your face so they cannot see your facial expressions. Then they start walking you through this story that you have to act out only using your body. So they're like, you're so excited, you just got a phone call, and you won the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes. You're a millionaire. Okay, so what you gotta do is you wanna go on a vacation, right? You're gonna go to the Bahamas, so you gotta get packed, you know, so you mime getting packed and pulling stuff out of drawers. Okay, now you gotta get to your car. Oh no, your car is broken. So you pretend being upset. Oh, I can't believe it. Try to push the car. Oh, it won't start, you know. So they would take you through this whole thing. Okay, you get a cab, you go to the airport. You've never been on a plane before. Now you start getting scared. Oh, you don't know what to think. You know, oh no, you know, an engine blew out. You're diving. Oh, you know, so you jump out in a parachute, and then you're in the middle of a forest, and it's dark, and you're scared. You hear something. You know, so anyway, so they walk you through a whole thing, and your body is telling the story. So, you know, after they see you kind of do that type of performance, which is what is required in a costume, that is kind of the next cut around. Can somebody convey emotion without any type of facial features? So Jeff, is that ringing a bell for you now? Did you remember going through that?
Somewhat. I mean, I really don't remember the covering their face thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but you're right. There definitely was some level. And I was trying to remember if that came before that. That came after the dancing.
Yeah, that was after the dancing. Because I remember they did the dancing because that was like the first thing. Can you do a general movement? And then they brought people in to say, okay, now are you a good person? Are you good? Okay, we like you. Okay, now let's see if you can react and emote physically. And then the next time around there, after that cut, that was the end of that day, from what I recall, at least for my audition. So that was by the end of the day, you had like your 15 people. Okay, guys, congratulations. We want to invite you to come back tomorrow. So please be ready. Be here this time, such and such.
Wow. Because, for me, it was literally that last section that we were down to 20 people. Like,
oh.
I bet you there was at least 150 people that came back for day two.
Oh, really?
It was a lot smaller, but it was still, I mean, like, again, that first cut is the biggest cut, but then, and then the dance cut was another big one. But then, yeah, I feel like for me, day one was just measuring and dancing.
Hmm.
And then day two, yeah, I do remember the improv thing. And then I do remember, I think they do have us put costumes on. Is that right?
Right. So yeah. So yeah. The next day you come in.
Sorry. One thing to throw in real quick is that is kind of interesting is that, and I was never on the audition team, but it sounds like the audition actually to a certain extent changes time to time because the people that are doing it, they have an audition team, but they're not like HR. I mean, obviously HR weighs in and, you know, you got to do the HR stuff, but they are literally either characters or, like Adam said, like leads. Leads are basically characters that have been promoted. So now they kind of run a location. It's not really management per se. But so anyway, so like those are the people and they literally would decide Like, they would meet together a couple of weeks before the audition and say, hey, what do we want to do this time? So it was very kind of, like, loosely, organically done.
Okay, well, that makes sense then, yeah, because, you know, just be a little more spontaneous, probably make it more fun for them, too, right. to deal with that for that many hours. And I remember when we came back the next day, what they were asking was, okay, you know, how do you feel about it? You still feel like you're available? Will everything work out? Okay, so, all right, we're gonna take you into this room. We want to do the next part of the audition. And I remembered walking in, and on the floor were all these character costumes laid out, like, on either side of the room. So they had, like, you would see the character head, you would see the costumes laid out, the bodysuit, whatever it was that was involved there. And if you remember the preview episode, I mentioned that I was pretty excited about characters, especially when they had the Disney afternoon experience at Disneyland in the early 90s. And I got to meet Darkwing Duck. I got to meet Launchpad McQuack from DuckTales and Darkwing Duck and get his autograph. And that was a big moment for me. And when I walked in, there was the Launchpad costume just sitting there. They said, which would you like to wear? I was like, this one, please. You know, and I just went right to it. It felt so cool to suit up in that outfit. Not only is it cool to wear a Disney character costume for the first time and figure out what that's all about, but the Launchpad costume is awesome because you got these, like, duck feet boots. You got a leather jacket, you know, that you get to put on. So there's a whole process to it. And obviously, I didn't know how to put on a costume. So you have the auditioners there helping you get inside of it. You're kind of figuring out how everything straps on and how not to fall over from the weight. But that was just a magical moment because, you know, you've only ever seen a costume on a character in the park. And now this opportunity is open to you to say, oh, I get to choose one. I can't believe it. But Jeff, do you remember who you dressed up as in your audition?
I don't. Part of it is, like you were saying, is that there is the entertainment of the auditioners. But then there's also just, like, they usually use costumes that are not being used in the park. So you right. would get more of the wackadoo. Like Launchpad, you will very, very rarely see Launchpad, but they have the costume and it just sits there in the warehouse. And so they would bring out some of those and you'd have, like, the Queen of Hearts. I'm sure I was one of those. Like, I don't remember. I'm assuming I wasn't one of the bears because bears have the big old belly. And so that makes that a different chore. Plus, they don't really have much legs. So that makes that hard to move around.
Yeah. So obviously the thing they're looking for at that point is when you're in costume, they want to see if it fits you right. Do you move too awkwardly in the costume, or do they think there's some potential for you to get used to it? But also, I remember that they took us through that audition again with the storytelling, with the improv, because again, they wanted to see, could you convey the emotion through the costume now? Because it's not just your regular body. Now you got an extra layer, you know, you got your exoskeleton there. So anyway, I remember going through that whole thing again, which was super exciting. And then at that point, I remember, you know, they would take you in and out just like they do in the auditions. And they said, okay, we just want to ask these people, you know, again, these numbers to stay. Everybody else, thank you so much. You made it so far. You should be really proud of yourselves. We just didn't, you know, we only have so many slots, but thank you so much for coming. And then they said, okay, we gotta do a different round here. And they invited, you know, the rest of us back in. They said, all right, well, we're going to ask you get into your costumes one more time. We just have one more part of the process here. So I remember us all standing there in our costumes. And then they said, all right, well, here's how it's going to go down. We want all of you to get ready to work at Disneyland because you've been hired. We're all like, yeah, you know, it's a big triumphant. Everybody's jumping around. We're so excited, but we're in costume, right? They're like, I bet you guys are pretty excited. Let's celebrate. And I remember them turning on some music. In our case, it was Are You Gonna Be My Girl by Jet. And so you have all these characters jumping around in costume, rocking out to Jet, if anybody remembers them. But it was just like, it was like kind of a surreal moment, you know, because you have the elation of being chosen, but then you have the added excitement of being in costume and being able to do whatever you want for a couple minutes while a rocking song played. So I don't know. For me, I was just like, I can't believe this. And you could just tell that everybody else there was super thrilled, especially our friend who had come from Las Vegas, like we said, Nikki, you know, so she knew, oh, wow, now I have a chance. What's my next step? I got to find a place to live. I'm hoping we'll have her on the show one of these days and get her perspective, because that's just such a unique story. But so what was your reaction, Jeff, when you found out you were hired? I mean, was the excitement over it building for you? Like, is it something you really wanted by the end? Or was it just kind of like, if it happens, it happens? Like, where were you at emotionally?
I would say maybe the biggest thing was kind of just like, I invested 2 days of my life. You know, at this point, like, you're in. So I don't know that I was jumping up and down excited. But, you know, hey, it's, you know, you got a job. It's very exciting to have a job. It's kind of like, the thing is, too, which we, you know, I don't know if we talked about in our preview episode, but that was kind of one of the things going in that was why I said yes to Justin, is that as a performer, as a prospective actor, the thought that we all, both had was, man, if you can go work for Disney in entertainment, you can just write your ticket anywhere, man. You can just put on your resume, I worked for Disney, and then anyone will hire you. So there was that. That was exciting. Like, hey, we're going to actually get to do this thing. And definitely, and I remember not necessarily during the audition, but I think it was during one of the early training processes, one of the guys that I hired in with Phil turned around and like said to all of us, like, dude, can you believe we get paid to do this? And that was kind of the way that we felt for a lot of it, was this fact that, like, this is really awesome that we get a chance to do this thing that is so much fun, especially because, again, like, for me, all of my previous jobs were A, kind of demeaning because you had no skills or no anything like that, but two, like, not fun at all. Fun was never a part of any of the jobs that I had had. So to have one that is both, hopefully, it's going to use my skills and be a lot of fun. Like, yeah, that was kind of a dream come true.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So yeah, it's kind of funny, because I know we had mentioned previously in our preview episode that, you know, I was coming at it more just to kind of mess around and have fun. And Jeff, as his career continued, it really became something that he revered, and it was something very special. So it sounds to me like your excitement over the job kind of built over time the more you did it. Would you say that's accurate? You became more and more invested?
Invested, yeah. I don't know how I'd use the word excitement, but yeah, it was, yeah. And we could talk more about that in the times to come.
So there we are. We made it. We were very excited to be involved in the Disneyland character department. That was the beginning of our journey to enter the character department at Disneyland. I'm sure we had no idea what was to come. So there's so much more to share with you in our future episodes. So that is the end of episode one, the audition. But we will be coming back next month with episode two entitled Training Days. So this is where you're going to learn about how we went through Disney University, how we got indoctrinated into the Walt Disney Company philosophy, how we became aware of what it meant to be a cast member, as we're called. And then we're going to talk to you a little bit about our first days on the job being trained in the character department itself. So our first time in costume and what we thought about that whole process, because it was two totally different experiences, getting the corporate training versus getting the character department training. So it's going to be a pretty exciting opportunity for you to take a look inside as to what was expected of those who came into this. So Jeff, is there anything you wanted to add as you wrap up your thoughts on the audition and our inaugural episode?
If you've ever been to just an audition in general for a play or a show or anything like that, like, for me at least, I love the audition process. Like, that was always one of my favorite things about doing plays and doing shows, is that sense of, like, anticipation, is that sense of, you know, what's going to happen. And yeah, there's a lot of pressure and you don't want to get cut and blah, 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 blah. But that was kind of the neat thing, is that it definitely had, it almost made us forget the fact that we were, you know, trying to get a job, is that it was less of a job and it was more of a show. It was more of a performance. And especially for me, yeah, like, because I was coming in with this idea of, I'm a performer and I want to get a job performing, is that the audition process definitely was along those lines. So
Yeah, see, I'm the opposite. I hate the audition process because I always feel like I'm not prepared. I'm like, I know all of these other people have been, you know, training for years and they have this much more experience or whatever else. So for me, it's always about like, I prefer to get asked to be a part of a, you know, a performance or a show. And for me, in most cases, that's usually kind of how it developed, is I've kind of been pulled into projects as opposed to have to put myself on the line.
Mm.
But yeah, that's good. We have those different experiences or those different points of view about that. So as we leave you here on this episode, we invite you, please tell your friends about the Two Goofs podcast. This is kind of the early stages, but there is some really meaty, fun stories to come. And we hope that you will be along for the whole 12 episode run of the series and that you will get a lot out of it. But spread the word on social media. You got Disney loving friends that would love the inside track. Let them know so they could join us. And like I said, be sure to go to twogoofspodcast.com. We'll be posting some exclusive content there as well. But I also wanted to let you know that we have a merchandise store. So if you want to get in on the ground floor with the Two Goofs podcast, you want to sport a t-shirt, you want to get a notebook, you want to get an iPhone case, whatever it is, with the Two Goofs logo on there, you certainly can. We have two versions. There's the one that actually has the logo text and one with just our soon-to-be iconic silhouette. Not trying to oversell it, but we're hoping that this is something special to each of you that you would love to share and spread the word about. Wear it to the park. People start asking you questions. Hey, what's that about? Oh, it's a Two Goose podcast. You gotta check it out. So with that, we look forward to talking to you all next month. And until next time, oh yeah, so long.